The style writer can handle envelopes, transparencies, and all kinds of paper. And it takes advantage of true type to give you crisp text at any size. It won't make much of a dent in your wallet, and it won't take a lot of space on your desk or anywhere else.
To Golgothi Best 30 plus minute album conversation, you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfon Elijah. Joining me today his biker friends call him the British Bullet. His pub friends know him as the Macho Baracho. But around these parts, we call him the Gov. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, everybody.
So many nicknames for one man.
I know.
And they're all appropriate. Also joining us today, if Colt Cast were a man's face, he'd be that cute, dimpled chin you couldn't take your eyes off of. Buster is here.
Hey.
Where do I even get these? I don't know. They just keep getting better, though. Also with us, if Colt Cast were a mullet, he'd be the back, because he's all party all the time. Lewis Wallace.
Oh, great, yeah.
Joining us live.
Awesome. Mullet. I'm the mullet. I love it.
Yeah, and Leander's like the front. He's the business part of it. If you two were made up one mullet, you'd be the perfect
back.
Mullet. How's the pasta going, Lou?
Almost finished.
You're almost finished? Yeah. Okay. Not that our listeners don't want to hear you eat your spaghetti.
Of course not. Dutifully tracked in my Lose It app.
What's that?
Dutifully tracked in my Lose It app. I'm on a big weight
calories?
Loss thing. Yeah.
Are you down some LBs?
iPhone is helping me drop the weight. It's awesome.
Nice. You should get on your Apple Watch, too, and that way you could track how many steps you're not taking each day.
Yeah, actually, that's a whole part of it, you know, working toward the calorie bonus, yeah.
Man, you're going to be so ripped, you're going to have like a solid 1 to 2 pack by the end of the year.
I'm going for a tall boy.
Alrighty, well, believe it or not, we are going to talk about some Apple stuff this episode. Here's what we've got. You're going to like this, I promise you. We're going to talk about a very hotly anticipated Nintendo game coming to iOS. One that you never thought would have landed on iOS is indeed coming. We'll tell you about it. Also, big news for the next version of iOS. Apple has decided to delay a bunch of big features and focus instead on stability. You probably heard about this week. We'll give you our thoughts on the matter, and we will also wrap up with some rumors on the next version of the iPhone. We've got some iPhone 10 Plus rumors coming out from some very credible sources, so we'll tell you about that. And if you stick around to the very, very end, as many of you often do, surprisingly, we're going to do an all-new Under Review, and I have to say, my pick for the segment this time around is the best item that I've reviewed in all of 2018. Wait, have we done this segment in 2018?
I thought we just one of these recently.
Did we?
It's all such a blur.
Well, I'm not even sure if we've done an under review in 2018, but even if we had, this would be my favorite gadget so far of 2018. I've really been loving it. So we'll tell you about all our picks coming up. Before we hop into the stories of the week, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, you need to head over to squarespace.com. You can turn your cool idea into a brand new shiny website. Promote yourself to potential employers, particularly if you're in college. This is a great way to sell your skill sets and make yourself look really cool. You can sell products and services of all kinds, promote your physical or online business. Announce a event, like maybe you're getting married or something, or you have a special project you want to announce to your friends and family or your fellow colleagues. And you can build it all by yourself and manage it all by yourself with no help from anyone else at squarespace.com. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers. You can have a website launched in minutes. And if you want, you can dive in, customize everything, make it look uniquely yours. They also have powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online. And it has Apple Pay integration now, so all of your fellow Apple users will be able to pay and check out really easily. Built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer service support, and everything is optimized for mobile. Right out of the box, you build a site and it looks great on any device that visits, so you don't have to worry about that. Easily create a website by yourself at squarespace.com. Use the 2-week free trial. Build a website. See how you like it. If you want to continue your service after the trial is over, use code COLTCAST at checkout. You will get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Plus, if you order a year of service, you get an additional discount. plus a free domain name, squarespace.com. Okay, first story. Mario Kart is officially coming to iOS.
O-M-G.
I never thought OMG is the perfect reaction to this. Are you actually excited for this, Buster?
Yeah, I mean, Mario Kart's like one of those few video games that even I love. So, like, that'll be fun.
To be able to play it on your iOS device, I'm guessing you'll be able to play against other people. But let's see how that materializes. So, right now, there's really not a lot of information. All there is to say is Nintendo just announced that a mobile version of Mario Kart is under development. They announced this on Twitter. They said that the game will be released sometime in the next 13 months. 13 months! They literally said the checkered flag has been raised. And the finish line is near. A new mobile application is now in development. Mario Kart Tour, hashtag Mario Kart Tour, will be releasing in the fiscal year ending March 2019. A little strange that they're announcing it this way. Buster, your thoughts? A whole 13 months beforehand?
They've done that with a lot of their games, though, haven't they? Announcing that they're going to make five games in what, however long, 3 years or and stuff.
True.
So their whole attack with iOS has always been completely unconventional and off.
I mean, it's Nintendo too. They're kind of wacky.
Yeah.
They're it's like a mixture of Disneyland and Japanese television. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not that strange. I mean, just look at the Wii U, a console I love dearly, but it's one of the most odd pieces of technology ever released in the modern era, especially definitely one of the weirdest gaming consoles ever released. So I'm looking forward to this, man. Every time I go to PAX, which is the big gaming convention that is here in Seattle every year, I play Mario Kart on all the old school consoles. They have a console hall where they just pack it full of the oldest consoles, mm-hmm. and you can play like, you know, a Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, and you get to go and play Mario Kart. And those games, even now, they're still fun. They hold up. And you remember when you used to have to play with like two or three or four people all on the same like CRT television, like the 20-inch television, and you all have like a 4 or 5-inch square to actually play? No.
No.
I've dated myself. No one remembers this but me.
I remember having a 19-inch CRTV, but I never played Mario Kart on it.
Okay.
Never once.
All right, well, I remember let's
that
just
was
move
a,
on.
That at the time was like a giant TV. I remember, oh my God, we've got a 19-inch. It weighed about 75 pounds, and I think it dropped on
only
one of the
75?
Kids.
Well, you had the expensive one.
Yeah.
I know. I remember when I got a 20-inch television, and it was massive. I couldn't imagine having a TV bigger than 20 inches.
Yeah, yeah, right. Me too.
But I think mine weighed like 300 pounds.
Yeah. Well, because we were upgrading for like a 9-inch TV, right?
Well, we never had one that small. 9-inch TV, I don't even know what you would do with that. I mean, how are you supposed to watch anything on 9-inch TV? Do they even make the 9-inch TVs?
Well, how much were they? How big were they? They weren't. Because I remember the 19-inch one was being really huge.
Yeah,
so
it
must
was.
Have, you know, like, I don't know, maybe it was
12-inch, maybe?
Yeah, 12,
I don't know.
Maybe.
We're dating ourselves here, Leander. There are people who have never, listening, who have never even imagined or fathomed a TV could be so small and weigh so much. But yes, kids, that's the way they used to be made.
Right, yeah, the size of like an iPad screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Except
it was connected
box.
To a ginormous box. Yeah, with tons of antennas sticking out of it. It feels good to live in the era that we do. Anyway, let's talk about the meat and potatoes here. This news that Apple has delayed iOS features to focus on stability in iOS 12. So let me just drop some of the pieces of the story, then we can discuss. Apple is changing up its plans for this year's mobile software, according to Ina Fried. Am I saying that right, Leander? Is it Fried or is it Fried?
I think it's Ina Fried.
Okay, I'm going to go with Fried. She wrote a report for Axios, and she said, Apple has shaken up its iOS software plans for 2018, delaying some features to next year in an effort to put more focus on addressing performance and quality issues. She went on to say, the features that were delayed were a home screen refresh, changes to the in-car user interface, improvements to core apps, such as Mail, updates to camera, photo editing, and sharing features. Features relating to ARKit, digital health, and parental controls will stay on track. In addition, Apple is said to be prioritizing work to make iPhones more responsive and less prone to cause customer support issues. Luis Wallace, your thoughts on this story?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually way behind, way in favor of this because it seems like Apple keeps adding new things all the time, you know, and I mean, I think they need to slow their roll just a little bit when it comes to adding new features.
How dare you?
I mean, how dare you? You know, we use these things every day, right? I mean, not even just us, everybody. But I read about them every day. I edit stuff about them every day, constantly immersed in this stuff. And every day, it's like, oh, there's. Did you know you could do this thing? Did you know you could do that thing? There's all these different features that are buried in there already. And then, you know, if they start making changes that actually bring big changes to, like, a user interface, I mean, I don't know. How many changes can people painlessly absorb in any given time period? I think there's a lot of things they could actually really make a lot better. And for me, first and foremost, I would love to see the Siri, you know, the voice recognition part get better. It just daily drives me mad. Lately, I've been using it more than typical. But it's like it's thinking too hard. I mean, it constantly doesn't understand what my name is. Is it Lewis? I've seen it just today. I saw it. I put my name into a document, an email to somebody, right? It spells it the right way, Lewis. Then it changes it to the French way. And then it thinks about it some more, and it changes it to the Spanish spelling. And
it's like, trying to help you out. It's trying to make you sound more cultured.
What the hell is going on? I've gone around the world in 15 seconds, and it's worse. I mean, it's bad in an email. It's worse than a text message. I've had it actually change things like that. Get them right the first time. Think about it, and as I'm hitting send, change it. Like, what the hell?
It's not even a spice to your life. Come on, Lewis.
It's adding dumb to my life. I don't need that. Today, doing something in Slack, right? I'm sending a responding to a message about something with a headline suggestion, and it gets it all perfectly right. And then I've never seen this happen. It scrolls all the way back halfway through the headline and sits there and thinks about it. You can see the little thing moving, you know, thinking. And I'm like, wow, is it frozen or what? You know, and so I said it again. And then it like all at once, it regurgitated the original sentence and the second sentence. And get this, it spelled, it got everything right except, you know, a little bit jumbled up because of the multiple inputs. But the thing that it absolutely missed, it spelled Apple TV wrong. Apple TV!
Well, who?
You're telling me that Apple doesn't know how to spell,
who can spell
Apple
it right?
TV?
I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Do you?
Yeah, there's a space between the word Apple and the word TV. Apple, yeah. Space, TV. But not when Siri's on the job. No! Oh, my God. I just
anyway,
about
how are we going to do a Siri rant again?
Well, because it has to do with fixing bugs in iOS. That's a meaningful problem. They need to get that right. And there's, you know, Killian has a list of five things, right? That's one of the things that's on his list. I don't have the list right in front of me, but, you know, we ran this week. I'm sure somebody on our amazing research staff could type that up and take a look at, you know, type that in and see exactly what else he has on the list. I don't actually happen to remember it now because I'm so overheated ranting about Siri.
Yeah, I know you like a blood pressure pill or something.
Anyway, I mean, I love iOS. I use it constantly all day long. And I love the changes they made with the iPhone X. But I also find it a little bit strange when I go back to the iPad. And I think about somebody who maybe doesn't use their iPhone or their iPad 20 hours a day or whatever. And, I mean, do they get confused when Apple moves a button or when they do this or do that or do something that's, you know, not so fantastic? Or if there's an actual legitimate glitch in there? So, anyway, that's a long, 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 long way of saying, yes, make everything perfect.
The pain you just described with Siri, that pain is what I've been living with my whole life, Lewis. Welcome to my world. When I'm trying to tell people my name and they can't spell it. Example, you'll be at a restaurant and the host will say, what's the name you want to put down on the waiting list? And you'll say, my name is Erfon. And she goes, how do you spell that? And I'm spelling it E-R-F-O-N. And as I'm spelling it, she's writing down letters that I'm not saying. Like there was this one lady, I was spelling it E-R-F-O-N. And as I'm spelling it, she's writing it out at the same cadence, but she's writing E-R-P-H-O-N-E. That is a true story. Wow. That happens to me all. Yeah, that happens to me all the time. And I'm like, are you listening to anything that I'm saying right now? How is it possible that you're misspelling it as I'm spelling it for you?
It's Siri. She's the living, breathing Siri.
Embodiment. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, the woman who had that, you know, gets plastic surgery to look like a Barbie? Yeah, she's had some kind of, like, brain transplant.
Or that woman who worked as a hostess at that restaurant. She went and got a computer science degree, and now she's at Apple programming it. That'd be my luck.
She's the head of Siri,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. She's the head of the Siri department. Yeah, no wonder. We're all having this problem now. This lady is like orally dyslexic. She can't hear what you're actually saying.
Right.
Wow.
Well, you know, imagine having a name like Leander. Goodness me.
Well, at least your name sounds phonetically how it's spelled.
Oh, it doesn't.
Like
no Leander. People can't parse it even when I say it.
Huh. You know, I've never met another Leander. I've never even heard of another Leander.
Certainly not a male one.
Male? Yeah, what are you talking
about?
Definitely
not a male one. Yeah,
it's a very masculine name.
Oh, sorry. So you got a little life hack for that, though, right? When you go to the sandwich line or the poke bowl line.
Yes. It's Lee.
And you even tell them
they bungle that too.
It's people just don't listen. That's the problem. It's only gotten worse with technology because now they ask a question and as soon as they answer it, they're no longer paying attention to you.
Yeah, right.
That's the real problem.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Leander, your thoughts on the changes?
Well, I'm looking at the stuff they delayed to focus on quality and making things better.
Mm-hmm.
The list includes home screen refresh, changes to the in-car user interface, and improvements in core apps like Mail. And I'm thinking, isn't that what they want to fix? Isn't that kind of like part of the list of the things that they should be fixing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, they're going to continue to add new features to ARKit, digital health, and parental controls. Mm-hmm. The parental controls thing, you know, coming from that those investors that made a fuss about, you know, kids being addicted to iPhones, which I think is ridiculous anyway. But and ARKit being a big push, and digital health being a big push too. So that's fine. I don't know. I never thought, you know, like I hear what you're saying about, you know, Lewis, when you said, you know, every year there's a whole bunch of new features and you have to, you know, most of it you have no clue is there, you know, and it's always been like that, hasn't it, though? I mean, this has always been the modus operandi of making things better. And I think, you know, I don't know, like OS on the 10. The way that it changes, you know, I gave it to my wife. My wife was playing with my phone the other day, and she was completely furious about the way that it, you know, doesn't use the button anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So called it quote unquote stupid, which made me.
Is there official review?
Right, stupid. This thing's really stupid. Well, actually, it was preceded by an F word.
Oh.
And followed by one too.
Yeah, and
fantastic.
Then, and by implication, by me as well. But
because you bought it,
huh?
Because you bought it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I like it. I don't know. Do you think it's going to make that much of a difference? You know, if they free some features to focus on, you know, quote unquote core issues, core stability. I mean, I guess, right? I mean, I thought that the two were kind of separated from each other.
Initially, I was disappointed to read this, and then I started thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, the more excited I got, because remember Snow Leopard, or Leopard, and then Snow Leopard, and it makes me feel the warm and fuzzies to know that Apple's diving in there and re-architecting, refactoring, cleaning up their code, making things run better, and Lord knows there's a lot of stuff to fix. There's a lot of stuff to fix. I hope one of those things is iCloud Photo Library. And so I'm happy to hear that they're doing some housekeeping. And if Air Force One is putting the kibosh on a lot of new features just to focus on cleaning stuff up, I think that shows that they know there's some serious problems they need to take care of. I don't think they would be doing this unless they knew that they had to. And so I'm okay with this. I'm totally fine waiting. As Lewis said, I don't need, you know, 1,000 new features every year. And the features they do release oftentimes either end up being things I don't use very often. Force Touch, great example. Or things that I don't even know are there until like 5 years later. Like they could stop putting features in the iPhone. This would be a great prank to pull. They could stop putting new features in the iPhone, right? In iOS. And instead, they could just talk about features right. That are there that have been released in years past as new features. And I bet you we wouldn't even know. We'd be like, oh, that's a great feature. And it's been out for like 5 years, but we had no idea it was even there. That's what they should do. And they should use that buffer of years to actually go through and clean up their code. And no one would know the difference. Maybe Malt Wasberg. He might be the only guy who actually figured it out. But no one else would actually know. So I think this is a really good move. Oddly, though, one of the things that they might still be focusing on this year is bringing iPad apps, iOS apps, to the Mac in 2018, which I thought was completely and totally bizarre, just like you did, Lewis. And I, I raised one eyebrow and I was like, what? Why would anyone be excited about this? Why would they be making this a priority? But Leander apparently knows why.
No, actually, it was the other thing. The other story that,
no. Oh, you don't know why? Well, do any of us know why?
There's some interesting theories about it, of course, right?
Tell us the theories, Leander.
One of them is that the Mac App Store is really suffering. You know, all the action is on the mobile store, the App Store, and no one's really taken up the. You know, the Mac App Store is like a horrible, deserted ghost town, full of unloved apps.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. It's like a haunted ghost town.
So if you can
make
a universal app, that ran on both, on all three devices without, major changes, then, it'd be a lot easier for developers, right? So.
And Bloomberg ran a story late in 2017 that said that Apple's trying to do exactly that.
And I think, isn't this what Microsoft does? I think Microsoft has a universal platform, so they're all
store.
So that
right.
Its apps run on whatever device, and so and then also it brings up the interesting possibility that Apple might be changing the hardware in Macs. It's running leaps and bounds. I mean, the mobile processors, the A chips that it makes, are already on par with Intel's mobile processors, and are faster in some cases, right? So it would make some sense to maybe switch the Mac to their custom silicon, and if so, then it would make it a lot easier for developers to come along, right? If they already had apps that were run on both platforms.
That actually makes a lot of sense. That might be exactly why they're doing this. When I was first thinking about this, are there any iPad apps that you'd want to use on your Mac? I couldn't really think of any. I was trying to think of iPad apps use. But all the ones that I use, they have great websites. And on my computer, on my MacBook Pro, I would just go to the website.
Look at Twitter, Facebook, things like Spark, the email client. They have different versions for Mac and iOS. And there's a ton of apps, I think, that would quite easily, quite naturally, live on... Could be ported over.
I wonder if that means they would just close down the Mac App Store because, as you pointed out, it's totally pointless. There's nothing there anymore.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't need it, would you? There would just be one App Store. And it makes it a lot cleaner, a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier for developers. Because obviously the Mac hardware is missing the touchscreen. It's missing accelerometers. It's missing gyroscopes. It's missing, I'm not technical enough to know the ins and outs of whether it would be easy or not to make a software for two fairly pretty different hardware platforms.
Well, that's initially why Apple has never done it. Tim Cook has even made comments about that type of thing, about how you don't want to merge devices that have nothing to do with one another. And so I'm curious to see how they'll end up making it work. I'm also wondering about the Apple TV store. I mean, if the Mac App Store is a ghost town, I don't know, what is the Apple TV store? It's like the cold vacuum of space. There's literally nothing there. Nothing has changed in it since they launched it. And the only apps anyone ever downloads are Amazon Video, Netflix, and... there might be a couple other ones, like the gaming in the Apple TV store is totally pointless. There's nothing there that's even worth paying any attention to, let alone money for. So it's just completely, it's terrible. Anyone disagree with me there on the Apple TV store? Is there any point to having it there?
Ooh, good point. I mean, I haven't looked at it for a long time, to be honest. I downloaded Amazon Video the other day. I'm gonna download Zwift, which is an indoor training app. Looks pretty nifty.
And if you want to play a game where you tap the controller once to make things jump around, well, then there's like 5 or 10 games there you might be interested in. If anyone listening to this has a good app that I should check out, please let me know at Erfon, ERFON. I'm genuinely curious because I keep going back looking for new stuff that might be interesting, and I haven't found anything yet. And it's been years now that the Apple TV store has been open. Okay, Buster.
What's up?
Let's move on. Let's talk about how... the iPhone 10 is a horrible, horrible failure. No one likes it. Apple should just close down and start selling Android devices.
Yeah, okay.
They over-dramatized that story?
I don't know.
I might have just a little bit. I embellished that a little bit too much that you actually had no idea what the hell I was even talking about anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's always reports this time of year that there's weak iPhone demand. And so there's reports lately that Apple slashed production in half. But Killian, you didn't include like the counter in this where that sounds like it's all BS.
How about we better recap the actual story?
Okay. Let's recap the actual story. Okay. A growing number of analysts and news outlets have obtained or have claimed that Apple is cutting production due to weaker than expected demand for the iPhone X. The Wall Street Journal is the latest to corroborate those claims, making it sound like it's actually legitimate. Also, the only Apple analyst that anyone that gets anything right, KGI Securities analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, was the first to report that Apple would cut iPhone X production short. As a result of weak demand, manufacturing is expected to cease in mid-2018 as Apple turns its attention to this year's models. So, the iPhone X, the phone we've all been waiting for, apparently it's not doing as well as many thought it would. And now Apple is going to be cutting production. And as a result, Apple's value has dropped $46 billion. Well, amid these claims, who knows why it's actually dropping? It could just be stock market movements. But I was surprised to hear this because I thought the iPhone X was selling like gangbusters. I love mine,
yeah,
but it is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is bunk.
Right.
Like Buster said, every year, every January, you get the same stories.
Just like in every May, you get like production delay stories too, that it might not launch on time. You always get these stories too, that Apple's slashing orders. And I don't think it's Apple slashing orders. It's just the demand does weaken for the second quarter of the year and then the third quarter of the year. So Apple starts lowering the orders. And that's all that happens.
And it's got stock manipulation all over it.
Yeah.
So this guy says in the comments in the Cult of Mac article, he says, take it down just before they have the financial call. Stock drops, then they buy low, then they report their actual financials, stock rebounds, and they sell high. They do it over and over and over again.
Oh, totally. Like the call is today. So it's, you know, Apple's value dropped, like, what'd you say? 70 billion?
46 billion.
Okay. And I think it dropped a day before that, too. So it had been on a slump for a few days. And then the call is today, and they're definitely going to meet expectations at least. So then it'll shoot right back up.
Man, so you're saying I should have bought this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of wasting my time with you guys, I should have been buying and selling. And, well, how much are the Apple shares now? Oh, they're $167. I can only afford a half a share.
Right.
So maybe not. I thought I was going to make my millions and retire, but I'll have to keep working.
Well, there's a guy, Ryan Jones, he's an Apple follower on Twitter. You know, he pointed out on Twitter really accurately, I think, that the number that Apple... Cut the Q2 production was cut from 40 million phones to 20 million. Mm-hmm. But if you look at historically, Apple Q2 sales have been around the 50 million mark, you know, 50.1 and 50.8 in the last couple of years. So 40 million is way, way high. That's like 80% of the historical sales.
Mm.
And there's no way that the top end, you know, handset is going to be 80%. It's more likely in the mix is, you know, closer to 30 to 50%. And if you do the math on that, it's closer to 20 million phones. So
you're saying if you take into account iPhone 8 sales alongside iPhone 10 sales, then they're right where they're supposed
right,
to be.
Right, and it's right where they're supposed to be. So you know, the number they were going to sell 40 million was completely unrealistic and inflated in the first place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you know, his conclusion obviously is that, you know, they were never going to make that many. It hasn't been cut out at all. It's, you know, it's remained at about 20 million.
Well, we'll soon find out, right? Because they're going to talk about it in the call. Well, there's some more details that have come out about 2018's iPhone X+, which we all knew was coming. In another report to investors, Ming-Chi Kuo said that Apple is planning two OLED phones for this year and one LCD model. The two OLED models, he said, will be a 5.8-inch and a 6.5 inches. I haven't seen anything that big since I went to Subway and got a 6-inch sub. While the LCD model will be 6.1 inches, for the LCD model, he claims it will have the same notch design as the iPhone X, but it will lack 3D sensing capabilities and the rear dual camera system. He doesn't give any numbers, but his reports also suggest that the iPhone X has experienced lower than expected numbers, blah, 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 blah. So we'll see. But it's in the mix. We've got an iPhone X+ in the mix. My only question is, how much do you think this is going to cost? If if a 256 iPhone X costs $1,250, how much is the 10 going to cost? I think they're going to have to lower the price. You guys are all going to make fun of me for saying that.
Oh,
I don't think they can sell a $14 or $1,500 phone.
I think so, too. I think like the X size has to go down like $100 or $200. Right?
I think it's going to go to $799.
You would hope. But especially because Apple won't be doing the three handsets this year. Like it's not doing like the iPhone 8, iPhone Plus, plus the upgraded iPhone X. So I think by having more like the new phones being the same, like design and everything, they'll probably drop the price on the X, hopefully.
Which, man, if that's what they're going to do, and I do think that's what they're going to do, so they can make the iPhone 10 Plus affordable, because I really don't think anyone's going to spend $1,500, $1,400 for a phone. That means we're going to have to sell our iPhone 10s early. You know?
Yeah.
Well, Leandro, I guess you passed yours down. Buster, you don't have one.
Right.
So that means I'm going to have to sell my iPhone 10 early, because they're going to drop the price right before the new phones go on sale. So that means you're getting hit hard, because the resale value is going to plummet for the iPhone 10. So now it makes me wonder if I should sell. I've been trying to sell my iPhone 7 Plus, and I'm wondering if I should just hang on to it and then just switch to that in, I don't know, like 6 or 7 months. And then that way I can just kind of wait it out and wait for the iPhone 10 Plus to arrive.
Wow. I don't know. At the same time, lately I've been like getting a hankering to buy the iPhone 10. So,
oh, really? Yeah. Well, if you wait 5 or 6 months, man, I'll have one I can sell you. I'll give you a great deal on it. How does that $9.79 sound?
Well,
it's in great condition. I'll even throw in a free
$9.79. I'm down with that.
Yeah, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll give you the friend discount, no problem. Yeah, so it makes me think we should be considering what our sale strategy is going to be for our current phones, because you know that Apple's going to be bringing the price down. Well, we'll see. Okay, let me see here. Before we move on to under review, let me go ahead and give a big holly jolly happy thank you to Eero for supporting this episode. The single router Wi-Fi model just doesn't work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. I knew that. You knew that. What you need is a distributed system from Eero. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination thereof. You simply set it on a flat surface or plug it into a wall outlet to expand coverage to any room. It's really just that easy. Not to mention, with the addition of a third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band. That's the good stuff. That's what you want. And twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets customers do more in every room of their home simultaneously. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can now connect to low power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Meanwhile, Eero Beacon is half the size, but even more powerful than the original Eero. Whichever model you choose, Eero's incredible customer support is there for you, and you get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert within 30 seconds. I really don't think that you will. These are some of the most straightforward routers that you can get. Plus, the difference in speed is going to surprise you. You plug these in, your blanket's going to have, or your house is going to have no more dead spots. You're in the bathroom, can't get Wi-Fi, that's gone. In the bedroom with low Wi-Fi, that's gone. And not only will your signal increase, you're going to see more bars, but because your signal is stronger, you're going to get much faster Wi-Fi from everywhere in your home. This is the future of routers. This is what all routers are going to be eventually. And Eero is one of the best distributed systems out there. It's one that we've tested. It's one that we really like. Check it out. You can head on over to Eero.com to read more. Plus, for our U.S. and Canadian listeners, you can get free overnight shipping when you decide to place an order at Eero.com. You just use code CULTCAST at checkout at Eero.com. Use code CULTCAST at checkout. You get free overnight shipping if you're in the U.S. or Canada. I really suggest that you check it out, especially if you're still using like an Apple router. The Apple routers, they look beautiful. I get it. They look beautiful. But they are old tech, and you will not realize how old they are until you switch to a modern router, and you'll be totally floored. It's a night and day difference, and you'll get much better coverage. Eero.com. Okay, let's move on to under review, the segment where we talk about what we like and what we don't about the gadgets we're currently reviewing. Does anyone want to go first?
Can I tap out on this and just go get ready for the live blog?
Oh, you got to roll out to get ready for the Apple earnings call.
I'll send you my audio.
I'm gonna miss you.
All right,
but there's work to be done.
Peace out.
We gotta do this fast too, Lewis, because you gotta go too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's run through this, Lewis. I was gonna say Leander, but both your names start with L. Leander, you had something pretty good this week, didn't you?
Yeah, it's really nice. It's you know it's an Apple Watch band. Another one.
Oh, yeah, you are the Apple Watch band king. No one knows more about them than you.
I was going to actually talk about this. Colgate sent me an electric toothbrush that Luke reviewed. So that and I was kind of excited about it because it's a smart toothbrush. It has you know sensors to tell you whereabouts in your mouth you're brushing, and if you're spending enough time in each different zone. But I haven't used it, so I can't really talk about it yet.
Well, let me just tell you, you're going to use that feature for about 2 days, and then you're never going to use it again.
Really? I never look at it again?
Oh, yeah. I reviewed a Sonicare, and they have that smart stuff built in, and it's cool. It's something that if you maybe had a kid, it would be useful, or like a teenager, maybe it'd be useful for them. But as an adult, I feel like the easiest way to know if your teeth are clean are just to take the apparatus in your mouth that scientists call the tongue, yeah, and you rub it over your teeth, right?
And if it's furry,
and if it's dirty, you know. If it's clean, you can feel that it's clean, and that way you know where you need to keep brushing. But that's just me. Maybe I have a hypersensitive tongue.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. You know, like you said, like for the first time, you probably want to know you know you're doing it right, if you're in all the right zones. Because my dentist told me like I'm not doing the back of the front of my teeth very well. So, but you know, all she needed to do was tell me that. Now I spend 20 minutes focusing on that area. I'm kind of curious. I was kind of curious to test it out. They have some games and stuff. I might play those.
Games?
Yeah.
Brushy bird?
They've gamified it.
The more you brush, the little bird jumps over the pipes.
Apparently, yeah.
Should be flossy over the
cavities.
Bird.
It jumps over the cavities. If you don't brush right, it goes to the cavity and the cavity eats it. All right, well then, pitch what you got there, Leander.
Okay, so I'm testing out this band. It's from our favorite manufacturer, Apple Watch. Duke. It is.
Ah, how'd I guess? Guessed your middle name, and I guessed your pick in the same episode.
Am I that predictable? Wow.
I know you too well, Leander.
These are, you know, like, I think their stuff is great. It's really beautiful. It's, you know, it's top of the line stuff at affordable prices. And this is an aluminum three-link band. So it's made up of 6,000 series aluminum, so it's nice and tough. Ooh. But it's kind of warm, you know. It's not cold, and it's sort of soft. You know, it has that kind of soft, nice aluminum feel. But it's a three-link bracelet. So it's got three rows of links. Can you picture that? You know how most metal bracelets, they just have one row of links?
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it. Is it on cultamac.com or store.cultamac.com?
Yeah. So you have to search for it. It's called the Velo, V-E-L-O.
Oh, it's right at the top of the page.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is sexy.
Right.
And also, it's like Iron Man's armor or something.
It does look like Iron Man's watch band. That's exactly, like, if he wore a watch on the outside of his armor, that's what it would look like.
It reminded me of, like, a tortoise shell. How it's
tortoise
segmented.
Tortoise shell, huh? Interesting.
Well, it doesn't look anything like a tortoise shell, but, you know, this
yeah, it really doesn't at all.
It looks like kind of like, you know, armor, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like armor. It looks very modern, for sure.
Right.
And it's comfortable, right?
It's super comfortable, because, the three bands of links makes it really, really flexible, so it really wraps around your wrist, and it moves, you know, really, really well. And it's just beautifully made. I mean, it's so precise. It's such precision, you know, engineering. It's got a really beautiful steel butterfly buckle. It's just so pleasing, you know, the engineering. It's just really pleasant to have something this well made. Mm-hmm. It really just gives me the jollies, you know?
The jollies. There's a word I haven't heard in a long time. And gives me the jollies.
Not outside of court.
Yeah, exactly. Not outside of a court hearing where someone was being sentenced for hiding out in your tree while you're showering.
For getting the jollies. Well, it's and the finishing is the anodizing is really, really top notch as well, because it comes in a bunch of different sort of finishes, different colors.
Yeah.
The midnight one, that's pure black, and I had that one on my watch. Unfortunately, it sold out. So. I had it on my silver watch, my silver Series 3.
Uh-huh.
And so when the screen is off, it has almost exactly the same look as the screen being off, the band, the obsidian band. Mm-hmm. Can you picture that? You know, so it's shiny, super dark black, and it looks really, really nice.
Dang.
And they also have one in red, silver, and obsidian, which is, the midnight one, which is like, I've got that one as well. It's really dark. Sort of navy blue. It's really absolutely beautiful.
I'm looking at these Juke Ligero Viridian straps too. Oh, Juke Ligero. Oh man, these things. I like the single link ones too.
Yeah, all that stuff is really, really nice. But the good stuff, you know, the Ligero ones are made out of steel, and they're a bit more expensive. They're a couple of $100. These Velo ones are like $120. And I think it's a steal, you know, compared to what Apple charges for the band, you know, for their
Oh, well,
their
there's
bands,
no comparison.
Bands,
yeah, definitely not. Definitely not.
These things will
not
last forever. I mean, they're so well made. They're really rugged, really durable.
They're gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to say, all of these are available at store.cultamac.com. Leave it to Leander to pitch something that he sells for under review. What a coincidence. Yeah, I'm going to pitch. But they really are beautiful. They really are nice, too.
Well, this
so
is all part of the store, you know, I think, is like, you know, to try to bring people stuff that's good.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We're looking at all this stuff, and the whole modus operandi of the store is to like, you know, you can buy a cheap, crappy band on Amazon for nothing, but it's going to be crap.
Right.
And this stuff, you know, we're testing it out and we're checking it out, and it's something I could really genuinely recommend to people.
Well, check it out. Store.cultamac.com. That was the Juke Velo Apple Watch band, right? Did I say that right, Leander?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. Let me go next, because I got a real hot one. So I've been testing out this gadget called a Stream Deck. It's made by our friends over at Elgato, Luis, our favorite friends over there at Elgato. They make so much great stuff, don't they?
Yes.
They make so much good stuff. Everything that I've tested by them, I've liked. And they have this new device called the Stream Deck. And the purpose of it is to allow you to... This is going to get a little bit esoteric, but I'm going to bring it and make it more general for everyone. It allows you to control your scenes in OBS or in other applications that you use to stream to Twitch or to YouTube. And initially, it was kind of aimed at gamers. So it's this little device that sits on your desk, and it has, try to picture it, it's got a bunch of buttons on it. That's all it has on it. And the buttons are backlit by LEDs. And it has, let's see here, five buttons in three rows. So three rows of five buttons each row. And you can program each button to do something, to control something in OBS or on your computer. And then you use those little controls as easy access controls to change things on the fly as you're streaming on Twitch. So for example, if you are playing a video game and you want to switch scenes, so you want to switch camera angles or something, you just hit a button and it automatically goes into OBS and it does that for you. Whereas before, you'd have to get your mouse, go to where the scenes are, open one, load it. So it would take you a lot of extra time. And this just makes all those steps happen seamlessly and quickly. And you can also control things like music. You can control volume. You can control things on Mixer, which is basically Microsoft's version of Twitch. You can control things on YouTube and YouTube gaming. So it puts all these powerful controls right at your fingertips. And I have been loving it. It's so well made and so well thought through. And the application that you use, you can program all the different buttons to do all these different things. And you can nest actions within buttons. So you could create like a folder in one of the buttons. And when you press it, it loads other actions that you can access. Makes it much easier to stream. And it's kind of like, think of it, if you were in a newsroom, well, a TV show newsroom. And you have all those guys behind the scenes with all those like machines where they're pressing buttons and changing the camera angles and doing all that stuff on the fly. It's basically that for people who want to stream on Twitch, on Mixer, on YouTube, or you could just use it to control different aspects of your Mac or your PC. It's compatible for both and not use it to stream at all. I think it is $150. It might be $100. Let me see here. Stream. Yeah, give me some Jeopardy or something there. Or that. Yeah. Okay. It's $150. It has a 4.5-star out of 5-star review on Amazon. So people love this thing. I can see why. 15 fully programmable LCD keys. You tap to switch different functions, switch scenes, launch media, adjust audio, and more. The Elgato Stream Deck. I love it so far, and they're making it better all the time. They keep releasing new firmware for it, so I'm excited to see where they go with it. Lewis, wrap us up, man.
All right. When I haven't been misspeaking into Siri, I've been typing on this lovely, it's called the Azio.
Oh, how do you spell that?
Azio. Retro classic Bluetooth keyboard. It's the Elwood model, and this thing.
Dang, it's, long it's, title, man.
Yeah, it's the title. not the greatest. But the thing itself is, it's really sturdy and hefty and just kind of built like a tank, kind of beautiful. It's got a metal, like a copper coated metal casing. It's one of these ones with the the typewriter keys, right? Mm-hmm. The round typewriter keys, so it feels really good on your fingers. It makes that horrible that kind of noise that everybody hates to hear in the background of a podcast.
Yeah, I really do. And Leander was using a mechanical keyboard for a while too. I think you must have stopped.
No, I've been typing the whole time here.
I can't hear it. Okay.
Very good keyboard management, Leander. We're very impressed. But so this thing is—I don't know. I love the feel of it, and I love the look of it. The copper kind of looks
it's totally
retro.
Steampunk. Yeah, I was gonna say steampunk.
Yeah, and it's
totally steampunk.
It's got a wooden face, right? I mean, so and it's even got a little like riveted on nameplate with the model number on it. You know, everything. It would totally look like if you walked into a bar, one of these retro speakeasy style bars with hipster mixologists with the weird waxed mustaches and arm garters, right? They'd be
arm garters.
Somebody would be taking table reservations, typing it into this, right? It's, I mean, you got to like that aesthetic. It doesn't match with an Apple product necessarily, but it's a kind of a beautiful thing to work with. I have had a couple problems with it, and I don't know if this is I haven't actually used a different Bluetooth keyboard with this particular MacBook, so I don't know. I've had the connection drop a few times, and one time it actually just started like spitting out random key, whatever. Letters. It was stuck on a key, right? And I'm like, whoa. I don't remember how I got it to stop, but that was a little bit unnerving. And even weirder, every now and then I'll be typing, and if I type an N, and it'll type, this little pop-up is like N with a tilde. So I don't know if I'm inadvertently hitting a key command. I haven't researched this.
All of Lewis's
somebody tell me how to fix
trying
this.
To get him to speak another language,
right.
I think.
It's a mind of its own.
Yeah, it's so multicultural. N with a tilde. Luis Año Nuevo.
Luis Wallace.
Luis, right. So anyway, the thing's a thing of beauty. I don't know about is the Bluetooth flakier than other Bluetooth keyboards? I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But I'll know more after I use it a little more.
Is it actually configured for the Mac, or is it like a universal keyboard? Does it have Mac keys?
Well, it has an Alt key. And it does have the Windows, little Windows key, but it works just fine. I don't know. Funny question to ask. I'm not 100% sure.
Well,
what
because they have like on the Windows keys, they have Alt Control Alt Delete or whatever, and then they have like the Windows button, and it's different.
This one doesn't look like it has either. It's like some weird combination of the two. It looks like a Windows logo sitting on top of an Apple to me.
Yeah, what does that do? I don't even know. I press it and nothing happens on the Mac.
Well, it's like the command key on a Mac, so you'd use it to, do all sorts of, like, shortcuts and stuff.
I'm not sure. I think the Alt key is what works for that, but...
I'm sure you could remap it if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's a Windows... I mean, look at the pictures I'm looking at. It's a Windows keyboard.
Well, see, it doesn't look Windows to me.
It works with a Mac, they're universal, but the key layout is, for a Windows PC.
Yeah, because it says fully supports Windows or Mac via Bluetooth.
Yeah,
I haven't noticed any like shortcomings as far as that goes. I mean, right off the bat, I can't even. I mean, it doesn't have a thing that says Command with the little whatever that is. What is that thing? How do you call it?
I don't
that
even
thing?
Know what that thing is. That's what I was trying to say. It looks like a Windows icon sitting on top of an Apple.
But it looks like it's a lock. Actually, is what it is on this thing. But
it's like don't touch this one.
Yeah,
this one's not for you.
But I could tell you that the Alt key is the same as the Command key. It just doesn't say Command and have that little Apple glyph.
That's weird. I would want to remap that for sure.
Well, the mechanical keyboard I got, it came with a different, like you said, you could remap it. I think it detected what operating system you're putting it into. But it came with spare keys, so you could swap the actual keycaps out.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do that in the 1920s, Leander.
yeah, they didn't have spare keys back then, Leander.
Has this thing got enough keys on it? Look, it's an extended keyboard, so you've got...
Oh, yeah, right.
I know, look at that. Jeez. I hate extended keyboards. Why do they include number pads on keyboards anymore? I guess if you're a gamer, maybe you'd want to do that, but I'm left-handed, so it's still useless to me. I hate extended keyboards.
I love it.
The Mac keyboards are perfect. Make the smaller, the better, as long as you fit both hands on it.
Oh, God. I love it. I love having the extended keyboard. And, the other Bluetooth keyboard I've reviewed was the same kind of, basically the same size. And I like that. I mean, some people prefer it. It's nice to be able to just enter numbers. I mean, especially if you God forbid, doing data entry on a computer, right?
It only works for you if you are right-handed, though, Lewis.
Well, okay. Well,
if you're a right supremacist, so to speak,
and you don't
care for us lefties, which are 10% of the population, but we're still important, are we not, Leander?
Well, I'm a righty, so.
Oh, well, screw you guys.
Okay. You guys are too sinister.
Lewis, how much does this thing cost?
Oh, God. $219.
$219?
Right.
Yeah, damn, it must be made of permium materials, huh?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you, man. I felt some other keyboards. This thing is...
Are you sure it's $219? Look at that website. It says $109.
Maybe it's on sale. Maybe that one's on sale.
I might be looking at the one with the wired, not the Bluetooth.
Oh, okie dokie, yeah.
Because I looked on Amazon. They're all $189 or $219, depending on the model.
This has little adjustable... things on the back, little adjustable legs. Everything just feels really sort of super premium. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
one of those things where you go, God, this is like well made.
Yeah, it looks like it was made by like Gucci or Armani or something.
Yeah,
just your style.
It's got a definite look. I mean, this is going to depend on your personal taste and interior decorating and stuff, right? But
right.
Yeah,
okay, well, this is the Ozio Retro Classic Bluetooth Onyx Luxury Vintage Backlit Mechanical Keyboard. That's the full title. Oh,
two mouthfuls.
In Elwood Bluetooth. We'll include links to everything that we talked about in the show notes, of course, if you guys want to check anything out. But I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. I know you had to go and do the Apple's earning call here in a sec, right, Lewis?
Woo!
Yeah,
cannot
it's gonna
wait!
Be a great time. So, and you guys are live blogging it too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Man. Hopefully, people will be there to catch that. Okay, well, if you wanted to talk to us about anything that we talked about in today's show or mention a product you think that we should check out, we would love to hear from you. I'm at Arifon Busters, BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. And, of course, at L. Keeney is where you can find Leander tweeting these days. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Work up a barbershop quartet version of that.
I would love to do that.
Next time.
Next time. I would love that more than you know, actually. But can we get Leander sing some of the harmony too? Leander, can you sing?
Oh, I can't sing, but I'll try. But
I thought you have a voice like an angel. You're being too timid. Okay, leave it there. Leave it there. That's good.
That's
Buster.
Hey, hey.
How are you? How are you, sir?
I'm alive and well.
Hey,
that's
Buster.
Good to hear.
Hey.
Leander Caney is also joining us. He's also here.
I kind of hate
Leander,
you, though.
What's your middle name, Leander?
This
is it's something really British, isn't it? Like, it's Edmonton. Leander Edmonton Caney.
It's so fucking close. You almost got it. You almost got it. That's fucking uncanny. You knew
what
this, right?
No, I didn't. I just guessed.
That's totally uncanny. It's actually Errington.
Ah!
Wow.
That's uncanny. That's really
That's really funny.
Yeah, that was really, really close.
Ugh. You're just so British. I knew you had a very British.
Well, I got it from my granddad. Yeah, that was his name. You know, my granddad's name, family name. It goes back, hundreds of years to connections to royalty, that kind of stuff.
Of course. Well, that was assumed.